Amen. Turn to somebody and say, God is faithful. Why don't you stand this morning and turn to your familiar scripture, and then we're going to go back over to Genesis, and we're going to be all in today. Amen. Praise God. We believe in just jumping all in. Praise the Lord. So you know why they let the turkey join the band, guys? Because he had a couple drumsticks. Just let you know that. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Dave, did you like that? He was going to go choo-choo-choo. I can hear you now. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Hey, you know why the turkey crossed the road twice? To prove that he wasn't chicken. So in everything, including pastor's jokes, in everything, give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hold up your Bibles today. Say it like you mean it. Come on, say it, Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to five people this morning and say, I am so blessed. How about you? Would you do that? Wow. How many would say this past year God has blessed you in spite of everything? I think all of us could say that, right? I think we all could say that God has blessed us in spite of everything. And I know for some it's been a very difficult season and very difficult year. But you know what I found out? Even in the seasons that we go through difficult times, God is faithful. God is good. Amen. And man, God is just, he just keeps pouring it on us, right? Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says in everything, not for everything. In everything. When you're in it, that's the time to really give thanks, right? And it's not for everything, but in everything. So when we're going through seasons, that's a real time we just need to reflect on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. You know, God is a good God, and God wants us to be generous and open to hospitality. We're getting ready to do some shifting in our small groups, and it's great, and I'm so thankful. But I believe, listen to me, I believe small groups are the front door to our church. I believe that's the way people can come to a small group. They might not necessarily come to a church service first, but they could get involved in a small group first and then come and be into the front door of the church. Y'all understand what I'm saying there? And so we're going to be seeing God do some amazing things this coming year, and I'm looking so forward to it. Praise God. I'm more excited today than I've ever been. I'm more excited about Jesus and what he's doing and this wonderful grace message and the revelation, and I'm just thankful, amen? And I want all of us to be all in this year. All in, praise God, 120-30% in, and just see what God's going to do in your life. So I want us to go over this morning back to Abraham, to Genesis 18, and we're going to kind of look at some things this morning regarding the covenant of God, regarding hospitality and generosity. Because God wants us to be a generous people, and he wants us to be open to hospitality. Amen. So let's go Genesis 18, 1, Aaron, if we could this morning, and turn your Bibles there, and this is really interesting. So the Lord, then the Lord, that Lord capitalizes Yahweh. Okay, I was talking about Hebrew words. Yahweh appeared to him by terebinth, trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent, in the tent door, in the heat of the day. So he had a vision. He had an encounter with the Lord, Abraham did, amen, here on this day, and he was sitting there in the front of his tent door, and he has an encounter. Look what goes on here. This is so cool. So Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself down to the ground. So he sees these three men, Yahweh, and two angels, and his response is to run to them and worship. He ran to them and bowed down to them to the ground. Now, it's really interesting because If you study anything about Middle East culture, men never run. Men never run. It's not in their DNA to run. They believe that it shows a lack of strength. And they believe that, you know, it's much better to chill than it is to run. And so this was so foreign in that Eastern tradition. Here we see Abraham running to the Lord. Now, I really, when I begin to think about this and when I begin to really dive into this, I thought about another time when we saw, you know, a father run, and that's over in Luke 15, when we see the father representing God running to the prodigal son. And what is amazing to me, in that Eastern tradition, it was taboo for a man to run. But here we see Abraham running to the Lord, bowing down to worship. And in Luke 15, we see God himself running to the prodigal son. You see, no matter where you are right now, God is running towards you. God is running towards your life. God is wanting to bless you. God is wanting to minister to your heart. So no matter where you are, God is running towards you this morning because of his love and because of his grace and because of his mercy and because he's got good things for you that he wants to lavish on you. Wow. So we see him running. Amen. It is amazing. And look at this. Look at this. It's so interesting. And said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant." Lord, if I found favor, God, don't pass by here. Just slow down, right? Look at the next verse. This is so good. "Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Let's go on a little bit further here. "And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart. After that, you may pass by, and as much you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." Next verse. Amen. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." Wow, this is so cool. I just want to give you some background here. First of all, I want you to notice that Abraham is no longer called Abram, but his name is now Abraham, and her name is no longer Sarai, but it is Sarah. And so God changed their name, and what's so cool about this, if you notice, there's an A-H in both of them. Everybody see the A-H? Well, the Hebrew word for A-H there is grace. God put grace upon Abraham and upon Sarah, and he changed his name from father to father of many nations. And what was taking place, this was about a year prior to the birth of the promised child, and what was taking place is when they began to change their name and grace came into their lives. Everybody say, "I'm so thankful for grace." Favor, God breathed favor on their life, and they begin to confess to each other. She would call now Abraham instead of just father. She would confess to him, "Father of many nations." Every time she said, "Abraham, father of many nations," and grace was breathed out. Woo! Favor was breathed out. And he would say, instead of Sarai, he would say, "Sarah, princess." Anybody named Sarah in here? There's our princess. Praise the Lord. Sarah, princess. Amen. So I love that. Princess. And so making that confession with grace changed their lives forever. So, you know, the power of confession over your life. Most people live into the past. Most of us, we'll go on Thanksgiving, we'll get around with Uncle, I almost said Uncle Sally. That may be true in today's society. Oh my gosh, amen. I still believe that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Although he did make me, so. But we get around and I'm about to crack myself up, help me Jesus. We get around our family, and what do we talk about mainly? We talk about the past. We talk about what went on in the past, and you remember what we did as kids, and you remember how this happened. You know what? And we don't really talk about the future. Do you know that God's given you power to speak into your future? Oh, come on, somebody. God has given you the ability to make positive confessions of God's word and promises into your future. And what was going on, when God changed their name, every time they would call each other, they were speaking forth the promise into their future. And in less than a year, they had the promise. Amen. And what I want to share with you about this is so amazing, is the generosity and the hospitality that Abram had towards God. He was welcoming God, and he was taking his time doing it. It is amazing because in Eastern tradition, you know, when you go into a restaurant to be served, if you leave in a hurry, it's a slap in their face. Because the whole job of a waiter in Eastern tradition, if you've ever been to Israel or to, you know, I've been to Istanbul, I've been to Israel, the whole job is to make sure that you're so taken care of and so pleased by the meal that they're serving. And usually, when you're in America, it's like, how fast can I get you in and get you out? How fast can I get my tip, right? It's not like that at all in Middle Eastern countries. It's like when you go in, they want to serve you. They want to make sure you have the best experience. Oh, thank you, Jesus. They want to make sure that the food is well prepared. And usually when you go in, say you go in at 5 in the evening, you may not get out till 9 or 10 that night because they want you to so enjoy that meal. And so this is exactly what Abraham was doing. He was expressing to God his gratefulness. He was expressing to God his thanksgiving for what he is doing in his life and for the covenant that God made with him. We're going to talk a little bit about that back in chapter 15. And so Abraham hurried into the tent and said, "Hey, Sarah, quickly make me some pancakes. Make me some biscuits." It is amazing because 3 measures of fine meal. You know how much 3 measures of fine meal? I did a little study on this. 3 measures of fine meal is 60 pounds. 60 pounds of flour. 60 pounds. You know how many? I did this study too. Do you know how many biscuits? Anybody like biscuits besides Pastor? When I lived in Florida, there was a lady in Florida that she made what was called cat head biscuits. And they called them cat head because they're about that size. And she would invite Holly and I over, and she would have these cat head biscuits, right? And they'd come fresh out of the oven, and they were so fluffy, and you just cut them, and they just kind of sliced open, and she'd have some fresh jam there and some real butter. Come on, somebody. Not margarine, real butter, right? And she would put that out. Man, there was nothing like. You know how many biscuits this would have made? 700 biscuits. Woo! That's a lot of biscuits, man. Man, and this was his heart towards God. He was just so thankful to God, and he was just showing his generosity towards the Lord, man. Hallelujah. It was so good. God added grace to their names, and extraordinary things begin to happen. And when things begin to happen in your life, when you're a generous person, things just seemingly happen in your life. Favor shows up. You know why? Because you're acting just like God. God is a generous God. God is not a stingy God. You know, the Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. Amen. And as grace people, we can just see how good God is. Amen. Let's look at the next verse. Go on down, verse 7. Praise the Lord. And Abram ran. Abram ran. Here he is again, running out of tradition for a Mideastern man. Ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Next verse. Amen. So he took margarine. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Amen. Wow, this is an amazing story. I want you to drop down to verse 13, if we would, just a second here. For the sake of time, we're going to go through here a little bit. So I want you to just drop down here. And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I'll bear a child since I am old, right? And then look at the next verse. Amen. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Wow, here Sarah's like, you know, you're going to have a baby. She laughed. She said, hey, am I going to have pleasure here? I'm about 9 years old. What's up with this, right? Now, I don't have to go into detail with that, do I? Pleasure, right? You all know that, right? All right, just want to let you know. So, is anything too hard for the Lord? Turn to somebody and say, is anything too hard for the Lord? There is, I want to tell you, I want to declare to you, there is nothing too hard for God. No matter what your circumstance is, you see, a lot of people would say her womb was dead. You may feel like there's some dead things in your life. You may feel like there's some things in your life that just aren't alive any longer. But I want to tell you, don't give up on your dream. God's got good things for you, amen? God's got good things for you, and you start believing the good things of God again, that my life is going to make an impact. My life is going to make a difference. God's got good things for me in my life. It is amazing, because if you turn to Luke 1:37, is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at Luke 1:37 real quick. 1:37, hallelujah. For with God, nothing shall what? This is the same rendition as this verse back here concerning Sarah that God said to Mary. Amen? The angel said to Mary the very same thing that he said to Sarah way back then. Listen, with God, how many's got God with you this morning? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Start believing big. Start dreaming big. Three of you said amen. Come on, somebody. Get with Pastor. Start dreaming big. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Start dreaming big for your life. Well, Pastor, what God's going to do with me? I'm 50 years old. He was about 100. Turn to somebody and say, there's hope for you. Amen. Go on back over there just a moment, brother. Amen. Well, it's the very same language. Is anything too hard for God? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Drop down to verse 23. This is a great chapter. It's just full of good stuff here. So Abraham came near. Now, this is really interesting, because the word came near there in the Hebrew is a legal term, and it basically means to approach the bench. It's like a lawyer, judge, may I approach the bench, right? That's what he's saying. Judge, may I approach the bench. God, may I approach the bench. And he said this, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? See, the stench of Sodom and Gomorrah came up to God. And he came down. The reason he came down, for two reasons at this appointed time. He came down to tell Abraham and Sarah, get ready, you're going to have a baby. That was number one, right? And then number two, he came down and says, hey, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the problem. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember from week before last, we talked about that? Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then all of a sudden he moved into Sodom, and then, you know, he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. Well, Lot and his family was there. So here's Abraham getting ready to go into a bargaining session with God. Amen? Anybody bargainers in here? Anybody negotiators in here? My wife knows I am a negotiator. And she says, honey, you embarrass me when you go into car lots. Why, honey, why? You know, I'm just, it's something about, listen, you know, many times here we pay full price for everything, right? Not in Middle East tradition. You do not pay full price for anything if you're a Middle Easterner. You don't. So, you know, I remember we went to Istanbul, and Vinny and us, we went to Istanbul, and we went to the big market there in Istanbul, Turkey, and we were walking down this aisle, and, you know, and they had all these prices on it, and you know, you go to the guy says, this much, and then you say, oh, about half of that, and they expect you to do that, right? Here, it's like we pay full price for everything. Not me, but you might. Not me. If you want a good car deal, come and see me. I'll try to help you get a good car deal. I do not pay full price. I've learned a few things over the years, right? But, you know, so we start out, but not Middle Eastern. They do not do that. It's totally opposite to them, right? So hang on with me. This is all going to connect in a moment. So here's Abraham. Here's Abraham, right? So he's saying, may I approach you? Because God's getting ready to wipe them out. Here are his families there, right? And this is what Abraham says. He said, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Wow, that's pretty bold. Turn to somebody and say, that's pretty bold, right? Talking to God like this is bold, right? Next verse, go on down. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? What? Here he is negotiating with God. Y'all got the picture here? So go on now, next verse. We'll go down a couple more verses. Far be from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be from you. So shall you not judge from all the earth to do right? Next verse. And the Lord said, if in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Wow. Let me tell you something. It's not about how wicked a city is. It's about how many righteous are in that city. The righteous in the city is what God is concerned about. It's the righteous in a city or a nation that can make a difference. Amen? It's not the wicked. It's the righteous, amen, that will make a difference where we are. It is the righteous today in this city, in this country, and in this nation that's going to turn things around, because God's favor is upon the righteous cause of God. Can somebody say amen and amen? We focus way too much on the wickedness and not on what God has for us. In fact, God has called some of you to be a politician. I don't even know if I like that word. God has called some of you to be in an office in government to make a difference. And God has called every Christian to vote. Just saying. I'm just saying. Turn to somebody and say, he's just saying. Amen. It's the righteous that will prevail. Amen. And this is what God was saying. Praise God. So he goes on. I'm going to save you some time. He goes on down through here, and he keeps pressing God. He keeps negotiating with God. You know why? Because he knew he could. You know why he knew he could? Because he had a covenant with God. Remember over in chapter 15 where he told Abraham, hey, make a sacrifice. Abraham took some turtle doves and some cattle. He cut them, laid them, the halves in between. God came down and walked through the blood. And the covenant wasn't really about Abraham. It was about God keeping his covenant because of his faithfulness. And Abraham knew that God had cut that covenant with him. And because he knew he cut the covenant with him, he could press and negotiate and press against the covenant that God cut with him. Woo! He knew everything was going to be all right because he had a covenant with God. May I say to you this morning, you've got a covenant with God. May I say to you this morning that you have a better covenant with God. Amen. Everything depended on God fulfilling this covenant and not on Abraham. God promised to be faithful to his covenant. And God promises to be faithful to us because we have a better covenant. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching really good to you this morning. Come on, give God some praise. Look at Hebrews 6:13. Look at Hebrews 6:13, right? Look at Hebrews 6:13 real quickly this morning. This is so good. I want to give you this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. God made this promise to Abraham. Well, now God made this promise to his son, amen, and his son brought this covenant to us, amen. Hebrews 4:15, look at this, back up a few, amen. Hebrews 4:15, man, this is good, Lord, I love this, praise God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Abraham was pressing against the blood covenant. Today we have a blood covenant that is better, amen, than the one that Abraham even pressed against, because it's through Jesus Christ, his son. So when we seemingly like we're going through it, we can press against that covenant knowing God will always be faithful. Go to Genesis 19:1. Amen. Abraham was pressing against that covenant. And why did he stop at 10? I always thought, why did Abraham stop at 10? Why didn't he, you know, most bargainers would go down, you walk into a car deal and you see that car and it's $30,000 on the car and you tell the guy, hey, I'll give you 15 for it. The guy says, all right, I'll take 15 for it. And then you say, well, how about 75? 7,500, you gave me 15. Well, I'll take 75, yeah. Well, how about 1,000? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, how about nothing? How about you just give me the car? Right? Why, you know, negotiators don't stop. Good people that negotiate, they're always looking for the bargain, right? He stopped at 10. He said, hey, if there's 10 righteous, God said, if there's 10 righteous, right? Now, let's look at this. I want you to see this picture. Try to go through this quickly this morning. Now, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he arose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Does this remind you of something else? Something we just read with Abraham, right? Next verse. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. And then we'll rise early in the morning and go your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. Not a good idea, right? Next verse, especially here. But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made for them what? Here it is again. This hospitality, this generosity. He made for them a feast and baked unleavened bread. And they ate. Right? Look at this. Next verse. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And listen what this took place. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally or have our way with them. Turn to somebody and say, that's just gross. Come on, really? Next verse, right? Next verse. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him. And listen what happened. Next verse. And said, please, my brethren, do not do so, what? Wickedly, right? Next verse. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. Wow. Do you guys get this picture? Have you read this? Anybody ever read this story before? And you're like, wow. Now I have two, and there's just no way. There's no way that I would give my two daughters over to these men, right? Or three daughters. I couldn't even fathom this, right? But you got to understand something. Here's what you got to understand. In Eastern tradition, because of their tradition in hospitality, if you entered into their house, it was up to you to do everything within your power to protect the ones that you let in your door. And here's what he's saying, because I have this covenant and understanding, because Abraham evidently taught Lot some things. And he remembered this, because I have this covenant, I am obligated to protect these two strangers that came into my house, even above my own daughters. That's why over in Psalm, and if you notice this just generosity flowing, over in Psalm, where David said in Psalm 23, the Lord, could you just turn there a second? Psalm 23 is a verse 5, amen, I believe. This is so good, amen. God, you're so good. Hallelujah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of what? My enemies. This is what was taking place over here with Lot. You anoint. In other words, my favor is upon you. You enter my house and my favor is upon you. I'm anointing you with favor. And not only that, my cup's running over. I want you to stay in this place of protection. Amen. I want you to stay here, because when they stopped filling your cup, it was time to go. But I want you to stay in this place. And that's exactly what was taking place here. Amen. It's exactly what was going on. Now drop down, if you will, to verse 12. Go back to Genesis verse 12. Drop on down. I want you to show you something here. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? He says, I have son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in the city. So I want you to look at this just a moment. So Abraham or Lot had at least two sons, right? And your sons, he had at least two. He had son-in-laws or son-in-law and your sons. So he had two daughters, two sons, two son-in-laws. What's that, six, right? And then two daughters that had not been married. That's eight. And then him and his wife is 10. Why did Abraham stop at 10? Because of that reason right there. He knew his family was number 10 in that place. You know that God is all about household salvation? Do you realize? Oh, come on, somebody. Do you realize that God is all about your whole household being saved? Your in-laws, outlaws, cousins, amen. Everybody in your family touched by this wonderful grace message. That is the covenant and the promise of God to us. You need to open up your mouth and claim it and thank God. Say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. And I'm believing all my household is going to be saved, and I am thankful for it. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you are so good. So he went on. Let's go on a little further. Verse 14, drop down a little bit. Verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law and who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking, a joker. Why? Because he had really lost his influence over his family at that time, right? And he said, you got to be really, really joking, amen? But God is always faithful. Turn to somebody and say, God is always faithful. Amen. So I want you to go back over to Genesis 18. We're going to close in these scriptures. Genesis 18, 17 through 18. You getting anything out of this morning? Come on, anybody getting some word in your heart this morning? So look what's going on here. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Next verse. Since Abraham surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. You know, Abraham began to press against that covenant. Abraham, you know, he wasn't treated too good by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? But he had a heart for God, and Abraham's desire was to see everybody blessed. He knew they didn't deserve it, right? But he wanted them to be spared. Why? Because Abraham had received an abundance of grace from God. He had failed so many times, yet God restored him, and God was faithful to him. Amen? It doesn't make sense, but he saw himself as a representative of God's great grace because of what God had done for him. So, and you can't give grace like Abraham was giving unless you've experienced that type of forgiveness. Amen? You can't give grace unless you've received great grace. Over in Luke 7, 47, I'm going to close with two scriptures. I just want to give this to you this morning. Luke 7, 47. Therefore, I say to you, this was a woman of ill repute that came to Jesus, right? And the Bible says she had an alabaster box, and she broke it, and it was filled with this costly perfume, and she anointed Jesus' feet that day with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, right? And she anointed his feet, and the fragrance just filled the room. There's a song I used to sing about that. And listen what Jesus responded here to the Pharisees and those people talking. He said, therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she, what? Loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You know what grace is all about? Is grace is all about not us loving God as much, but how much God loves us. And when we find out how much God loves us and truly loves us, our response is just natural to open up our hearts to others and to bless others and to be generous to others. And that's exactly what was going on with Abraham. Amen. This woman of ill repute had that alabaster box, broke it, and somebody said it was very costly. It may have been a year of wages, but she broke it and she gave it to Jesus as an offering. Amen. Chapter 53, Isaiah, I want to show something real quick to you. Chapter 53 of Isaiah in verse 11. We're going to close in this. Chapter 53 in verse 11. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By my righteous servant shall justify. Amen. Abraham said, is there not one, if there's 10 righteous, I want to tell you, there is one righteous. His name is Jesus. Amen. He is the righteous servant, and he fulfilled it all for us. Hallelujah. That you and I may not have the wrath and the judgment of God on us, but that it was poured all out on Jesus, amen, and that you and I might receive the blessing and the grace and the favor of God and come and dine at the Lord's table, amen. One thing I love about Thanksgiving is food. Anybody else? There is nothing quite like turkey, stuffing, dressing, mashed potatoes, gravy, my wife's sweet potato casserole. Thank you, Jesus. That is anointed. Amen. Praise God. Pumpkin pie, or some pie. It is just amazing. Amen. God is a faithful God. Let's stand this morning. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. We have so much. Listen, church. We have so much to be thankful for. Can anybody say amen to that? We have so much to be thankful for. Not only do we have so much to be thankful for, amen, we can sit down at his table and dine in the presence of our enemies. God has got it fully prepared for us this morning. Anything you need, you just receive off the table today because you're his child and he is in your house right here. He is dwelling in you. Would you raise your hands this morning and let me speak over you and you agree with Pastor today? Say out loud this morning, say, I am blessed. I am seated at the feet of Jesus today. Thank you, Lord. You supply all of my needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. I declare household salvation over my family. Lord, I declare everyone will come to know your love and your grace. And today I declare I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I declare I am the healed of the Lord. He provides good for me, for my body, for my health. I am strong and favored of God. I receive everything that New Covenant has provided. It's already mine. I've taken it, and I receive it today by faith. I confess I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. This season will be one of the best seasons I've ever experienced. I know because I serve a good, good God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, before you go today, I want you to find 10. Since we talked about 10 this morning, find 10. 10 means the number of completion, but find 10 people and bless them with a Thanksgiving blessing. Would you do that? God bless you today. Amen.